you know, my own life experience working with women is that, you know, when women face challenges, once they're provided with the right education, information and supports, there is an awful lot that happens to us in life that we can overcome. And what I couldn't understand is, why was menopause so different? Why was the narrative and the rhetoric around menopause overwhelmingly negative?
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Let me show you how. Welcome, everyone. You are on To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis, and I am Dawn Mathis. And, you know, this To Your Greatness slogan, you're thinking, well, what's so great about menopause? Well, I don't know. Quite frankly, although I do know that any time in our lives when we have some kind of a challenge or some kind of a circumstance, there's always something to learn. There's always a silver lining in a gray cloud. And you've heard me speak to that on numerous podcasts. So this time is no different. And yes, we are talking about the M word again. The menopause one, not the other M one. But anyway, so I'm thrilled to have this wonderful speaker, businesswoman from Ireland. I have Irish roots. We were just talking about that before we started the podcast, and so it's exciting to have someone from my roots. So her name is Brita Birmingham. And like I said, she's Irish. She's from Ireland. And she is a menopause coach, a social entrepreneur. She's the founder of the Midlife Women Rock Project and Cafes, which she started in 2019. She's a psychology and sociology graduate and a mom of four, working with women transitioning through different life stages and menopause while doing all that. So she says that the goal is not to get women like us back to our old selves, but to assist us in finding the new woman within. A woman who is stronger, more powerful, in control of her hormones. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. More creative and self-aware. In 2018, as her children, four of them, moved on in life, she went back to school to complete her psychology degree, researching midlife women, which is the most under-researched and invisible group in academia. Brita, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. So glad you could join us. I know it's a bit late there in Ireland, isn't it?
It's 9:30 p.m. at night here. I'm just actually off the tennis court. I normally play tennis on a Monday night between 8 and 9 p.m. with seven other women. And so I'm literally in the door here 15 minutes. But it's a beautiful evening here, actually. It's very dry. It's about 6 degrees, but very fresh. So lovely to be here, John.
Wow. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm glad you still got to do your tennis before jumping on with us. So thank you. I'm usually in bed by 8 p.m. because that's just me. My brain wakes me up at 3 in the morning. So thank you so much for joining us. Before we get started, I just wanted to bring about that I just found out that you have a book that was just published. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. The end of October, actually, it was International Women's Day. I published and launched the book. And the title of the book is Midlife Women Rock, A Menopause Story for a New Generation. And I wrote it following the completion of a master's in social science in 2020, whereby I interviewed 20 women here in Ireland in depth on their experiences and understandings of menopause. So it emerged from that, along with I working with women individually and in groups, let's say, since 2019. So it was very interesting. When the book was launched, it reached the Amazon bestseller list on the week that it was launched, the Kindle edition. And it's been very well received in Ireland because it's the first research-backed book on menopause that has been published this century in Ireland. I'm very proud of the book. I'm just delighted I managed to write it. And it's my COVID legacy because I actually wrote it during the lockdowns here.
Wow. Well, that's great. And, you know, on previous episodes, we've talked a little bit about COVID and lockdown and what comes out of COVID or what has emerged or birthed from different people and their minds during this time. So, wow, just another example of something wonderful that came out of something not so great. So Midlife Women Rock, A Menopause Story for a New Generation.
Yes, correct.
That sounds like a very interesting book. I'm going to have to get a copy of that. Okay. So I just have a few questions for you here, Brita. Just wondering how this passion for helping women in midlife and in menopause, how did that come about for you?
Well, it's very interesting, Dawn, because back in 2015, I returned to full-time education when my youngest was, I think, going on 11. And I always wanted to study psychology. So I went back and started a degree in psychology. I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd end up working, you know, in menopause or with menopausal women. But in the final year, I started to review the research around midlife women. And as you mentioned, you know, midlife women are one of the most under-researched cohort inside there in academia. And menopause is a huge part of our midlife journey. So in a former life, I was a midwife and a community health visitor.
Oh, wow.
I've been working, Dawn, with women all my life, my working life. And when I was reviewing the research around menopause, something just didn't resonate with me. You know, my own life experience working with women is that, you know, when women face challenges, once they're provided with the right education, information and supports, there is an awful lot that happens to us in life that we can overcome. And what I couldn't understand is why was menopause so different? Why was the narrative and the rhetoric around menopause overwhelmingly negative? And I was going through research papers from all over the world, Australia, the US, and the UK. And this negative story was just emerging and it was very, very strong. And that was the question I asked, like, why was menopause any different to anything else that happens to us women across the lifespan? Mm. And that's where I started. Mm. So that was the question. So from there, then I became, a menopause detective because what I didn't realize, Dawn, at the time is I was perimenopausal. And I didn't even realize that I actually was because I had no education. I had no information. My friends didn't talk about it. I thought it was something that occurred when, you know, my period stopped. So I was still getting fairly regular monthly periods. So it just didn't cross my mind that I was perimenopausal. But when I was delving into the literature, then I had this aha moment one day. Because I was putting on a lot of weight and I had a lot of fluid retention, body odor, tired, and I was putting it down to stress. But in actual fact, they were perimenopausal symptoms.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I remember being careful with my health and going yearly to the doctor, and I had female physicians, but It was never brought up. I brought it up and I just said, you know, I noticed that I have, you know, I never had a belly and now I have a belly. And my first, I think I said it on a previous podcast, my first female doctor told me to get a life. And all I was trying to do is like, I'm an athlete, you know, and I pride myself on looking fit and trim. And I just noticed that I was just getting, you know, the fatty deposits, you know, the love handles or whatever they call them. And then a little bit around the thighs and, you know, the belly, and it bothered me. And then of course I'm sure there were other things, but it just didn't feel, it felt like it was a closed door. Like it was something that was, taboo to really talk about, that many physicians, even women, were not really all that comfortable talking about it. Why do you suppose that is? And it sounds like you had the same experience when you did the research, that it was, yes, all science. Kind of, or most of it was negative, had a negative, yes, slant,
and that,
to
that
it.
That negativity contributes to the silence. And this in my own research, then I discovered that there was massive silence, stigma, and shame associated in becoming a menopausal woman. And again, I became extremely curious about this. You know, why were women so reluctant to talk about something that every woman, you know, globally is actually going to transition through? And what I discovered was that fear, shame, and denial, they were the three recurring narratives in my own research that came up again and again. And women seem to fall into one of those three categories, or all three, when it came to menopause. And I mean, past generations, this is what I talk about when I am speaking. Past generations of women did not have voices. We actually have voices. And we are the generation that can actually change this story, that has been intergenerationally handed down to us. And how we're going to change it is with more and more of us having the courage to talk about it, because that is the key to breaking the taboo, is removing the silence. And Dawn, what's happened in the UK and Ireland now in the last 2 years in particular is we're unearthing decades and decades of silence that has followed menopause over a century. And that's bringing more and more women like myself and many other coaches, GPs, menopause experts in the fields of nutrition, personal training, pelvic floor, mental health. They're all coming into the domain. A domain that was previously occupied by male doctors and professors who were writing for other doctors and professors, not really for women. And that's a big change that's happening in the UK and Ireland.
Well, yeah, it kind of slays me how the opposite sex can be writing as experts on something they never go through. I don't know. It just, yeah, you know, and the only way maybe they go through it is their wife is experiencing it, or, you know, or their patients. But there's something to be said about having had the experience. I think, I don't know, maybe not always, but at least the sensitivity component, which seems sometimes to be missing in at least in our healthcare system, is that little bit of sensitivity and just trying to put yourself in your patient's shoes for just a few moments and seeing what that must be like.
And Dawn, I mean, fundamentally, again, when I was researching, you see, without knowledge and without education, we have no power as women. This is what I discovered myself. And once I became educated, once I started learning about what perimenopause was, the symptoms, how it's diagnosed, the different management pathways, I felt, you know, I was empowered and I could take control of what was actually happening to me. And with the hundreds of women that I've worked with, this is the change. This is the shift. It's the knowledge deficit and the fact that we have had no preparation, no education, and no widely accessible, you know, support and information. That's causing the negative story and that crisis, loss, degeneration, invisibility narrative. Whereas the truth is, we're not invisible. We're invaluable at this stage in our lives. It's not invisibility we should be talking about, but how valuable we are, you know, in society. We look at the world through a different lens to men. I'm not saying it's better, but it's just our lens, the way we look on life is different. Would you agree?
I agree. I think knowledge with action is power. And we don't know what we don't know unless we reach out and learn through resources or people such as yourself that are advocates for what women go through, for the menopause cycle, the perimenopausal, postmenopausal. I think I do think it's changing. I think women are realizing, hey, you know, I'm not the only one going through this here. Why is it so difficult to find information, or why is it so difficult for me to have this discussion with my physician? I totally agree. So, Bridie, yes, can you hear me okay?
Dawn, I found here is when groups of women get together, it's extremely powerful because they realize that, you know, we're all on the same stage, and we can actually help each other hugely by sharing how we're actually managing or how we're coping. 20% of women apparently have no issues when they're going through the menopausal transition. Another 20 to 25% have severe or debilitating symptoms that, you know, warrants medical supervision for a while. And then the remainder, they have symptoms, but they're proactively finding whatever, you know, what best suits the management pathway, be it hormone replacement, be it nutrition, be it lifestyle changes, be it supplements. So there's lots of avenues. That's what I like about it, is that, you know, there are different avenues, but it's about finding the correct avenue for you, because we're all individual. That's why it's a little bit complicated and complex. No two women are going to present with the same set of symptoms when it comes to menopause, and no two women are going to, you know, decide, oh, this is the route for me. So there's no template, and that's why it's a little bit complex.
Yeah. So how, when you started your business, I was curious, did you just start because you were passionate about learning and doing the research, and that was somehow tied with your education, and from there you grew the passion to speak to and to coach women in menopause and how to deal with menopause?
Yes, let's say when I completed my degree in psychology, I got a place then with Social Entrepreneurs Ireland. They're a network here, and they had this Ideas Academy. And I applied to the academy because they were looking for people with ideas that would change Ireland. And my idea was about opening the conversation around menopause. I believed that was back in 2019, if we could bring it into the public domain, we could ensure that all women were going to be supported. And so I went to Social Entrepreneurs Ireland. I had this idea to set up a cafe because I'd seen the power of breastfeeding support groups and mother and toddler groups when mothers actually came together and collaborated, you know, in group settings. So I had this idea of, let's try this with women who were navigating their menopause journey. So I set up the first Midlife Women Rock Cafe in June 2019. And we ran the cafes monthly for 6 months until COVID-19 struck in March 2020. And the feedback from women was absolutely phenomenal. The fact that they could come into a safe space and they were able to access information and also, you know, talk with other women who were, you know, transitioning through perimenopause, early menopause or menopause. And many, I would say 90% of the women had never spoken to anybody about perimenopause or menopause prior to I meeting them.
Wow. So what, for you, what are the main messages you want women in midlife going through menopause, doing all that? What would be the main messages you'd want them to know?
First, again, it's my own background in psychology. It's the mindset. I mean, there's the research done in 2020 in the UK. It was Professor Myra Hunter. She's a psychologist and she's done a lot of work around CBT and using CBT to manage menopausal and perimenopausal symptoms. But she did a survey and she interviewed women and she looked at those that arrived into perimenopause who were neutral, who had no opinion on how they were going to experience menopause versus those women who came in who were expecting it to be extremely negative and who were very fearful. And what she discovered was in following these women as they moved through perimenopause, those who were fearful and expected it to be a really negative experience had a lot more symptoms than those who came in, you know, with a neutral belief system around what was happening. Now, I myself personally, I meet a lot of women in crisis, panic attacks, high levels of anxiety. They're right in the middle of perimenopause and they've had nobody actually supporting them or actually helping them realize this is perimenopause. You know, you need to slow down. You need to consider maybe HRT or supplements, but and realize that, you know, you are in perimenopause. This is where you are at the moment. But that's where the education deficit is. If women were prepared and they knew what to expect, I think it would alleviate a lot of unnecessary suffering. And that's what we're seeing here with the conversation opening up. I mean, the media in the last 8 or 9 months in Ireland have been wonderful. Every month there's something about menopause in the newspapers now here. And in the UK, it makes front page coverage on The Guardian. Every few months, the menopause does. And the big leap there, Dawn, in the UK is that they had celebrities, first of all, back in 2020 come on board. And now they have politicians. And the politicians, Caroline Harris and Caroline Noakes, two MPs, they've set up a menopause women's health task force in 2021. And they're looking at how best to help women, especially in the workplace.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that's a great idea to have celebrities and politicians. I know with ED in the United States, erectile dysfunction, I've seen, it just seems the last several years that's getting a ton more attention, and having known people that actually get on there and say, hey, listen, most of us have this thing. It's not a big deal. We just need to fix it and just go get it fixed, you know, and here's where you go, that kind of thing. And it seems to help to normalize it, for people suffering. And I like that idea that you talked about in Ireland and in the UK, where the celebs and politicians are you know, becoming a part of that. I think that's brilliant, actually, because quite frankly, we put those people up on pedestals sometimes, and to know that they, you know, they have some of the same symptoms, maybe worse than we do, I think is helpful.
Yes,
would you agree?
Again, it's contributing to the normalization of the subject. And I mean,
yes,
where we're aiming to, in Ireland, let's say in the UK, we're to normalize it to such a degree that it becomes like the way women talk about pregnancy and childbirth. That's the vision, and that's where we need to go, to bring it out of the shadows. Yeah. You know, take it out of the bottom of Pandora's box where it has been shunted to for such a long time. And there's no reason to keep it in the shadows, because that is contributing to the symptomology. And
yes, I totally agree. Mindset is a huge component of anything. So I agree with you on that, and the education. And when we educate ourselves, we're more aware. And when you're aware, you can make changes. So what would you say might be for some of the listeners here that want to say, yeah, well, I'm out of control. Not my hot flashes are out of control. My moods are crazy. What would you tell someone that might be a little bit in crisis, like a lot of the women that you work with? What can they do initially just to take back some control and help reframe this menopause? Giant in their life.
I mean, knowledge is huge power, in particular when it comes to perimenopause and menopause. So the first thing I would say is, let's say, go to a library and see if you can get access to some information on menopause, preferably something that was written in the last two to three years, because in the UK, there's been quite a number of books and once you get access to a book, that will lead you to a website or to their social media. So a book that was written in the last 2 to 3 years, and to have, first of all, start by reading that. Number two, if you are going to visit your doctor, make sure you bring a symptom checker with you. Most websites are women or menopause coaches. On their website, I have one, you can, when you log on to my website, midlifewomenrockproject.com, you can pop in your email and you will get a menopause symptom list. You take that along to your GP or your doctor, and you explain, these are the symptoms I have, and that opens the conversation, makes it easier. So in that respect, the doctor can say to you, oh, you're not in perimenopause, or you're not in menopause. And this is what we found here when GPs were very reluctant to say you're actually perimenopausal. What has started is that women are saying, excuse me, but like, I'm meeting the criteria. I'm only 43, but I know I'm perimenopausal. And so there's been a lot of advocacy here and women finding agency around this time in life, which is very interesting to observe. So a book, symptom checker, a reputable website, and that's where you start. And then if you've got friends or colleagues that may be open to talking about it, you'd be amazed what you learn from each other. Because I've seen that when groups of women get together, they can be so helpful to one another when it comes to this transition. And just to realize that one big tip I always say to women is, you know, to depersonalize. This menopause is like you're traveling over this bridge. The bridge is very shaky and rocky, but you will get over the bridge. You know, you are going to get over that bridge. Yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
You get to the other side.
And Dawn, when you get to the other side, right, once you invest in yourself and go on that journey, because the journey can take between 5 and 10 years as we're moving through this highly significant transition. You see, it's something that has been trivialized as something just, it's hormonal only. But there's a lot more happening than just hormones. There's emotional and psychological changes happening to us women as we're moving through this stage. And it's possible to come out the other side of menopause stronger, more powerful, more self-assured, with an access to a deep creative power and a lot more courage than you had when you went in to perimenopause. And that's in the research. That story is in the research.
Wow. This is great information. So Brita, your website is midlifewomenrockproject.com.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And our audience can go and find the symptom checklist on your website. And is your book listed on your website as well?
Yes. Yeah. You can actually get the book on my website. I've actually just got another shipment of books in during the week. So you can actually buy the book from my website, or you can buy it from Barnes & Noble, Wonderful. Walmart, or Amazon.
Wonderful. And that book is Midlife Women Rock. Yes, we do. A Menopause Story for a New Generation. Midlife Women Rock, A Menopause Story for a New Yes. Generation. Brita, I want to thank you so much for getting off the tennis court a bit early to chat with us. And thank you so much for the gift of your time and your knowledge and all of your insights. And I don't know, I would say that probably the people listening, and myself included, we can be encouraged and empowered more by what we just heard from you. So I want to thank you for
You're
the gift
welcome,
of your time.
You're very welcome, Dawn. And Dawn, in my book as well, something that I meant to mention was I talk about the four dimensions when we're traveling over that bridge. So there's the physical, there's the emotional, there's the psychological, and there's also a spiritual dimension as we're moving through this yes. highly significant time in a woman's life. And I cover that as well in the book.
Say those one more time for the audience and
four
for myself, please. The
so
four
we've
dimensions.
Got the physical dimension. You've got you've got your physical changes in your body. Then you've got emotional changes that are occurring.
Wonderful. Well, Brita, again, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon. And thank you so much. Oh, for gosh sakes. Oh my gosh. I got to kiss the Blarney stone. I don't know where mine is, but anyway, yes, for sure. Thursday is St. Patty's Day. So I know it's a pretty big deal here, and I know it's a big deal there. So yes, happy St. Patty's Day. Thank you again. Lovely talking to you too. Well, everyone, I hope you listen to this over and over again. I hope you get the book. I'm going to get the book. And I hope you reach out and get the checklist from Brita's website, midlifewomenrockproject.com. All right, everyone. I think we've covered this fairly well in the short time we've had together. This is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. I am Dawn Mathis. Stay safe, be well, and I'll see you next time. Take care. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.